Sports. Going down for real. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Disappointing, certainly, today here in Berea. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl. We're going to analyze the Browns' 30-9 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get your reaction, 216-578-0850. It's really going to be a show for you. Bottom line, here are my quick thoughts. I thought that the defensive performance, once again, was downright awful. I thought too often the players seemed to be in situations where they were overmatched on an island as cornerbacks, and time again, Ben Roethlisberger drew up the deep ball. And between the deep ball and then the pass interferences on the deep ball, pretty much about 300 yards of offense on 11 go routes.
Yeah, to me, it's disappointing. And I think what this is a veteran quarterback who has the rapport with his wide receivers, who recognize the coverage that they're in, whether it was called or not. If they recognize single high safety, those guys were running down the field. A, because of their matchups. B, because of the single high safety. And then they were on the same page with Ben Roethlisberger. And I think had Landry Jones played in this football game, I think the result would have been significantly closer and the ball would have not gone down the field as much as it did yesterday.
I do agree with that. Johnny Manziel, you're looking for a bright spot in this game, and I'll give you one. Johnny Manziel, you want to see improvement now in what is, when you really look at it in terms of the NFL, you can make the case that he's now played 4 full games this year, and he played 1 full game a year ago. Where he is in, after this game compared to where he had been before.
Light years.
Night and day. It's a very impressive performance in the sense that he was better from the pocket, completing 33 of 45 passes. He completed 83% when standing in the pocket. He did a good job mixing in when scrambling, when throwing the football. And I thought on the whole, when you looked at his development, and this is a guy, I chart these things. I go through every single game. When you look at what Johnny Manziel did a week ago against the Bengals, and then you come back and you look at what he did against the Steelers, massive improvement from Johnny Manziel. And I think if it wasn't at the point yet, you certainly have to be at the point now where it's time to turn the reins over to him. He even says the game's slowing down. You saw that, delivering the football quickly, accurately from the pocket on the day. At one point, he was 31 of 35. As the game got out of hand, he finished 33 of 45, 372 yards, 8.3 an attempt, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, quarterback rating of 95.8. He also was the team's leading rusher on the day, 3 of 17. But when you look at this game, again, and I'll say it was true for Josh McCown as well, the quarterback has not been the reason that the Browns are losing, and by the way, losing big, 4 straight by 14 or more points. It's not on the quarterback. Johnny Manziel played a good game. If you would have said, all right, Johnny's going to go 33 of 45 for 372, a touchdown and an interception, D'Angelo Williams is going to run 17 times for 54 yards, what's the final score of this game? Immediately, you're not thinking
24-20, 24-21.
Maybe the Browns even win.
Right.
But you're certainly not thinking that it was a Steelers route 30-9. Too many costly penalties once again. Too many mistakes on the whole. 140-plus yards of pass interference penalties alone in this one. You could not match up with Martavis Bryant one-on-one, but tried to do so repeatedly. Martavis, 6 catches, 178 yards and a touchdown. Antonio Brown, 10 for a buck, 39-2. The strange thing about it is that the quarterback, which we thought was going to be the issue coming into the season, hasn't been the issue for this team whatsoever, and it was never more apparent than here. But it is amazing. It's like, oh my goodness. It's not just to see what you have in Johnny Manziel. It's to let the guy play and develop and learn how to play in the NFL. We talked about the transition he would have, and I thought if you wanted to take one thing away from this game that's encouraging, it was the play of Johnny Manziel and not making the same mistakes against the Steelers that he made against the Bengals. And
which is what you said last week.
That's what I wanted to see. That's why I thought it was so important to see him play right after that, because he missed, I would say conservatively, 40 to 50% of his reads against the Bengals. Against the Steelers, that number significantly lower, made some good throws into space, into tight windows from the pocket.
And you know what I like to see is the number of times that John DeFilippo put trips to one side or a cluster, which is 3 individuals very close in that bunch-type formation. And there are specific reads based on how the defense plays those trips routes, those trips combinations up the field, or those, you know, one up, one in, one flat or low. It's three reads, three consecutive reads. In some cases, it's low to high or high to low based on how the offensive coordinator scripts it out. But what I was encouraged about throughout the football game is, you know, A, it was disappointing the score was what it was, but I was encouraged by the way Johnny Manziel went through a half-field read, but again, looking at what the defense is giving you and taking what's there in those different type of route combinations, because at some point, it can be very confusing. As we saw against the Cincinnati Bengals, Johnny Manziel wanted to continue to push the football down the field. We saw he was okay giving it low or absolutely throwing it intermediate and taking what was there. And I think in some cases, it's why his completion percentage, as you mentioned, and something I followed very closely throughout the football game, four, maybe five, six incompletions, and we were in the 30s. You know, 30 completions at that point. What did you say, 31 of 35 at one point?
Yeah.
And I was impressed. I was impressed with his play, and I think he made a concerted effort to do a lot of it from the pocket, and that was my question for you statistically is, what was he in the pocket? What was he out of the pocket?
83% completions in the pocket, according to ESPN stats and info. I thought overall he did a very good job in terms of showing that progress. And you can even hear it in the praise that he got from the guys on the Pittsburgh Steelers side of the ball. They were not prepared for what he was able to do as a pocket passer, and they also were very, very impressed by what he did throwing the football once he got on the run, buying time, keeping things kind of still going and moving as well for that defense, for the offense of the Browns. All in all, you had first and goal at the one-inch line, and you end up out of not even scoring points.
We had what, second and 26?
Second and 26.
At
too
one
many,
point?
Right.
Second and goal from the 26.
Way, way too many penalties. This team shooting themselves in the foot. And again, if you want to take one positive away, which I believe that you should, the one positive in this game was the development of Johnny Manziel. And if you want to be a Johnny Manziel hater and you want to say the bar was set very low, that's fine. And in some ways, it was very low. He started the game, by the way, Johnny, 11 of 11 for 85 when throwing from inside the pocket. He finished, as I said, around 83%. Johnny Manziel, what he was able to do here was, to me, show that he could take information and see tape and see mistakes and then in a week's time correct them. That gives me a lot of hope. Am I ready to say that he's now the franchise quarterback of the Cleveland Browns? Absolutely not. But for you, I was more positive about him than you were coming into this game.
Absolutely.
Where are you now with Johnny in terms of him starting the rest of the way, what it means in the locker room, and also what you've seen from him and what if you believe that now, you know, maybe he does have an opportunity.
Even as soon as 11:25 prior to your hit at about 11:35 when you announced the inactives and saying Johnny was going to start, I was still in favor of an 85% Josh McCown starting in this football game. Because my mindset probably is riding right alongside where Mike Pettine comes out as the head coach of this football team. And in some cases, he's paid to be the coach of this football team and make those decisions and try to go out and win. After this football game, he is my starter moving forward. He is. Because and I flipped very quickly because of the mindset of seeing how he can grow and compound that growth week after week after week and its ability to keep us in football games, which we really weren't, only for maybe a quarter and a half yesterday, keep us in football games and potentially win us football games, so much so that it gives us a definitive opportunity to make the right choices in this offseason for Johnny, you know, to help him grow, to give him the football, you know, in March when they report, you know, for OTAs or whenever, or April, whenever that is, that he gets the football, that it's all about him being the guy. Because I think Johnny questioning himself, both as a person and as a player, and alleviating his role as Johnny Football is part of the struggle on the field for Johnny Manziel. Trying to live up to the hype, live up to the hysteria, to live up to the other quarterbacks drafted in his class.
Who, by the way, have all gotten to play
and,
improve.
That weighs on you as a person. It affects your preparation. It affects your, you know, your mental state going into these football games. You know, and I believe even in the offseason, some of the frustration we saw on the football field throughout OTAs and minicamp with Johnny wanting to be perfect. You know, that Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Peyton Manning in his prime is so far down the road for a guy like this that get the basics first of playing quarterback in the NFL and expound and grow in that role.
And what Johnny's done, when you compare to the other guys in his class, let's look at Blake Bortles. In Blake Bortles' first six games as a quarterback, 233, 2-2, 253, 1-2, 191, 0-2, 336, 1-1, 159, 1-3, 221, 1-2. In those first six games as a quarterback, we're talking about a guy who threw 12 interceptions and who only threw six touchdowns. That's Blake Bortles in his first six games as a quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater, it took him, and I love, you know, I love Theodore. Teddy Bridgewater, when he came out as a starting quarterback, first three games, zero touchdowns, zero interceptions, zero touchdowns, zero interceptions, zero touchdowns, three interceptions, one interception, one touchdown, two interceptions. So his first four starts as a rookie, some throw one touchdown and five interceptions. That's it. We're talking about Bortles, had 12 in his first six games. Derek Carr, when he came out and started the season last year for the Oakland Raiders, two touchdowns, no interceptions, 1-2, 0-1, 1-1. He struggled early, and then he lit it up against San Diego. But in his first four games, he threw four touchdowns, four interceptions, and topped 200 yards passing once. You go and you look at Johnny Manziel, and you realize to yourself, Johnny Manziel now has started four games in the National Football League and played four full games in the National Football League. You had the last year, you had Cincinnati, 10 of 18, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Then you had against the Jets, he ended up throwing for 182, 1-1. He didn't even start that game. Starts Tennessee, 8 of 15, 172, two touchdowns. Cincinnati again, 15 of 33, 168, one touchdown, no interceptions. And then Pittsburgh, 1-1. So if you actually look at Johnny Manziel in his four games, four touchdowns, three interceptions. That's better than Carr. That's better than Bortles. That's better than Bridgewater. I am not saying he's saying he's better than those guys. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is you're seeing someone who is clearly showing signs of progress in year two. And I believe coming off of the best game he's played as a professional, 33 of 45, 372, one touchdown, one interception. Quite frankly, should have been two touchdowns. Travis Benjamin dropped one that was literally right in the breadbasket going into the end zone. And Johnny Manziel's done it with, I would call it an inferior supporting cast compared to those guys. But my point is the bar low for Johnny? Absolutely. Why? He's got a huge transition from what he did at Texas A&M to the NFL. Is he showing real tangible progress? Yes. I hope today at 3:30, when Mike Pettine addresses the media, he embraces Johnny and says, he's my guy the rest of the season. His dedication, what he's done in the film room, showed on the field. His work ethic showed. The progress he made showed. He's going to start for us the rest of the year, and we're going to really give him an opportunity to continue to develop as this season concludes. I hope he's embraced, because it's always been, I don't know, I don't know. We want to give ourselves the best chance to win, which is in some ways a shot right at Johnny. We're not winning, and we're not losing because of the quarterback position.
Correct.
Right now. It's everything else that was supposed to be the ground game, the offensive line, the defense in general, period, in every facet. Those are the reasons the Browns sit at 2-8.
Yes.
Not the quarterback.
I believe, and again, putting myself in the shoes of Mike Pettine and knowing his track record, I believe he's going to say what you just said. He's not going to turn it over to Johnny Manziel right now. And I think that the time that the bye and him having the opportunity to use meeting with the coaches extensively about this, that he's not going to make a snap decision. That's who we are in understanding Mike Pettine, having been around him for the, 18 months to 2 years we have, or that we know of him.
Yeah.
Okay, whether he should or he shouldn't, his track record says that he won't, that he's going to buy the time until he is 100% certain that he has the backing of everyone in the building, and maybe even speak to some of the individuals along the offensive line or his leaders and Joe Thomas and maybe Dante Whitner, Carlos Dansby about this move. Whether he should or should not, I'm not saying. Ultimately, he's the dictator when it comes to who plays on this football team. But I would say Johnny Manziel has to start the next football game, because I said all along that if Johnny Manziel were to ever get the football at any point, I got to see him to know Johnny, to see that compound growth, or him revert back to old habits and regress for four consecutive games in a row, because that's a quarter of our season, and I believe you can see how Johnny approaches being a starter both on the field and off the field. OK, Can Mike Pettine see Johnny Manziel when given the football in this building more? His commitment to getting better each and every week, his commitment to his teammates, the confidence that I'm sure would shine through in Johnny knowing he was the starter. I want to see all those things. If it's status quo for Johnny, you know, his play on the field, you know, can obviously supersede that. But if I'm evaluating Johnny Manziel, I'm evaluating every snippet of that is Johnny Manziel so that I don't look like a dummy when I do give him the football.
Absolutely. And I thought we saw, again, I thought I saw enough improvement from Johnny Manziel. And you know what's funny? All of a sudden, did he look small yesterday?
Yes.
It didn't wasn't a factor from the pocket.
Was not a factor. Was not a factor. Did he look small?
Well,
yes.
He is physically. And Pittsburgh, by the way, has some big guys. I was down
they
there.
They do.
And it was cool. I was standing in the end zone for most of the game. And you really are right on the field at the end zone. I have a great look at the blocking and the way plays develop from the quarterback's
right.
eyes. I thought he did a very, very good
he
job.
He did do a very good job. And the one other factor that I think is there's a curve that has to happen in playing with Johnny Manziel as opposed to a pocket passer or Josh McCown is that rapport that gets built with a certain quarterback. That's going to take time for Johnny Manziel. And the one thing that I think that some of our receivers do very well and some of them do not do very well is give Johnny a chance or move without the football, or we talk a basketball term. You know, the best teams are the guys, people that move without the basketball. Those are the best teams. And I think that sometimes our receivers / tight ends have trouble finding those voids in the zone playing with a guy like Johnny Manziel, just like Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant. Maybe not so much yesterday, but in past history, Hines Ward was so great at it that when Big Ben, you know, kept the play going, they were working to find and understand where Ben was going to go, where he likes to go with the football to get in his sight, you know, to get into his vision so that the football can be delivered, you know, on time with space. And I think sometimes we sit down and we kind of get comfortable saying, oh, Johnny's going to find me. But defenders are passing by you that if you're working to help your quarterback, you know, it's only going to work to the advantage of a guy like Johnny Manziel at the quarterback position.
And one of the interesting stats for me is that Johnny Manziel in this game, 20 of 25, 80% completion, quarterback rating of 104 when he got the ball out in 2.5 seconds or less. 20 of 25, that was on 28 of his dropbacks, 20 of 25 when he got it out in 2.5 seconds or less. He was 13 of 20 when it took more than that. On the day, got it under, however, 3 seconds to throw, which is significant.
Which is a half a second faster than he had been,
correct? Than he had been all year, yes, and it brought it down significantly as well for him on the season. He did a very good job yesterday in the pocket, getting the ball out quickly and on time. I hope, again, today is the day for Mike Pettine to go out there and to embrace Johnny Manziel and what he did. If you want to look at this football team and its ills, and there are many on a 2-8 football team, right now the quarterback position on the whole hasn't been it. And I thought for Johnny Manziel to come back after what could only be described as a horrible start when the ball slipped out of his hands, very impressive. His interception, let's not forget, came on a fourth down
yep.
when he had nothing to
forcing
lose but
it.
Throwing it into the end zone.
Right.
And it was intercepted. And he had another touchdown that was dropped and maybe almost rushed for a touchdown. And I thought he had gotten in there, but apparently he
And how different of a football game is. You just talked about some of the, you know, some of what happened to Johnny via quarterback. But what happens if we give up just the field goal and not the touchdown because of the offsides and our Monty Bryant? 5-point
play. Just, again, another example of a penalty shooting
right.
this team in the foot. All right, we want to get you guys your reaction today. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Of course, we're going to hear from the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, at 2. We're going to hear Johnny Manziel at the podium, 145. Mike Pettine at 2:30. Plus, we have some interesting cuts from Tremont Williams and Paul Kruger, two veterans, talking about the Browns defense. So a lot to get to here on CBD. Zagur and Wilhelm, ESPN 850 WKNR.